Blog Talk Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Understanding the importance of public relations as it pertains to you guys out there who are entrepreneurs like myself. I'm Carrie Hines, and when I started focusing in on this industry, pretty close to 30 years ago, I knew that it was very important to gain exposure, and most folks who embark upon an entrepreneurial type journey or career probably or maybe not understand what public relations is all about and how it's an important stepping stone for anybody in business. My book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, really, really speaks to this. It covers every area of understanding everything, and we're celebrating the information that's in the book. Big anniversary for it, so I'm real excited about it. It's out there on Amazon, in case you're interested. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. But again, the PR, which is what public relations is referred to, is really where you are taking your message for your business, your products, whatever it is that you've got going on that you're looking to increase sales or bring awareness to. What you want to do, the very, very first step, engaging the public's interest in what you have, is to create the understanding of how it's beneficial to the folks you're trying to reach. So just wanted to begin this talk, as we kind of, again, look at all of the different aspects of trying to get your business going here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I think this is a great way for folks to, you know, begin looking at how to connect with folks. That's what public relations is all about, and there's so much more to PR, and this is how you begin, again, how to get rich in the hair business and so many other different ways.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Well, hello, listeners of Hair Radio, Hair Talk Radio. This is Francesca Rivetti, keeping you in the mix. I am reporting live at the Premier Orlando show in Florida this weekend, and I'm really happy to have a great friend of mine with me. Her name is Taylor Jamieson, and she is an amazing razor hair cutter, and I would say probably best known for her classic bohemian haircut. So without further ado, I'm just going to introduce you to Taylor, and she can take you as a Taylor. Hello.
Hi, good day.
How's it going?
Good, great. Yeah, I'm waiting for a good show with Francesca and David. So we actually call ourselves the Fab Four here at Premier Orlando, and maybe that'll expand after Premier Orlando. That would be nice. So, yes, if you're here in the building, come and see us. We're at room 308D. And, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so tell us, you've been affiliated with this show for quite some time, Taylor. Tell us a little bit about your history with Premier.
Yes, it's been the last 5 years. In fact, the women at the registry actually recognised me, which was really strange because there are hundreds of people here.
Right.
And I was asking a question. She said, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You've been here before. And I thought, wow, that's incredible that somebody recognised me. So that was really nice. But yeah, the last 5 years I've been involved in Premier Orlando. And before the 2 years that we were off, they did the Premier Florida show. They did Alabama and Columbus. So I've actually toured around with them. And, you know, it's just about networking and, you know, being around all the educators and being on stage and introducing, you know, the razor. It's a classic bohemian system, and it's all done with the razor, and it's actually Sassoon-based. So, I feel like it's unique in that respect, because I was Sassoon-trained, and basically they never used the razor. And I thought this haircut...
That's true.
Yeah,
if anybody's familiar with Sassoon teachings, they don't use the razor,
No. And the haircuts, I felt, were lovely when they stood still, but when they moved, they were pretty heavy. So I do the same Sassoon system that I learned all the years ago, and actually cut it with the razor. It just makes it softer, and it makes it smooth, but it's actually cutting and not texturizing.
That's great. Well, that's awesome. So Taylor, how can our listeners, where can they find you? Like, are you on Instagram, Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Oh, all of it. Instagram, Facebook.
So it would be...
Taylor Jamieson Education on Instagram. And there's a few actually on Facebook. Was Taylor Jamming Some. Taylor Jamieson, just myself.
Right.
And then Taylor Jamieson Education. Right. And we're working on a website. It's been a wee while getting up and running.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Taylor, for sharing with the audience. So, again, this is Francesca Rovetti keeping you in the mix, reporting live from Premier Orlando, and I'll be interviewing other fellow amazing artists. And again, this is my awesome friend Taylor Jamieson, and you can find her on Instagram, Taylor Jamieson Education, and also on Facebook. So back over to you, Kerry. Thank you.
All right. We're with Eugene Davis and Conversations on Hair. Eugene. So let's just go ahead and jump on in. Take it away, Eugene.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk, Perry, about, you know, the different things that are going on between the Will Smith and Chris Rock incident at the awards, Oscars. And there's so much to unpack around that still tie into issues with hair, such as alopecia. But I just wanted to start with what did you think, or how did you feel when you witnessed this infamous slap?
And I know I've told the story, but the thing is, how did I feel? That's a good question. When I first really saw it, I had heard about it first before I saw it, and I think that was the thing. And that may be the difference. I heard about it, so I didn't think, like most folks, that it was, you know, that serious at first, just on hearing. And then I watched it, and I still didn't buy totally into it. So I know there's some folks out there with the conspiracy type stuff going on, thinking that it was fake. So I kind of could see where they might have arrived there, but, you know, using logic and just things that happened subsequently, you could figure out that it was quite a real thing. So how did I feel? Well, it runs across so many things. So I probably could talk to you until the next broadcast about this.
Yeah.
But how did you feel, Eugene Davis, being a hairstylist extraordinaire? How did you really feel? See, because the hair community feels differently, I believe, than the gen pub, than the general public. And so, and a lot of the fans of the show have expressed that. But how did you feel, the man behind Eugene Davis dot hair?
Well, for me, I mean, again, like you, I didn't watch it live. I saw, you know, a video clip of it. But I had heard about it first, and once I watched it for myself, I just felt, one, that the joke that Chris Rock did was harmless. I mean, because if you are a celebrity, this is just goes with the territory, and we all know Chris Rock is known for doing jabs, but funny but harmless jabs. And I'm sure he was not aware of Jada Pinkett's situation with alopecia. And even if he was aware of it, I believe that joke was still sensitive enough not to warrant Will Smith to cause bodily harm to another. So there might have been other things going on between Will and Jada in their personal lives. But when it comes to alopecia, I know it's a sensitive subject, and I know women are very sensitive and men are sensitive about it, but I just didn't think that was a dig at alopecia at all. It was just about G.I. Jane. And when you think about the context of when Demi Moore played G.I. Jane and she shaved her head, not because of alopecia, but for the part, she still looked great. You know what I mean? She was and Jada Pinkett looked great. She looked amazing. So I don't understand how that was offensive enough for him to get out of his chair and then also then now verbally abused from the audience to Chris Rock.
Wow.
You know, I just think that was out of order, and I think Will Smith could have held a lot more constraint behind that, waited to afterwards. Because there's a lot that could have happened. What if Chris Rock would have reacted then, and there was a tussle or a fight on stage? How would that have impacted the black community? How would
Absolutely.
That make us look on a global that we just confirmed what everyone has always been underlining thinking, that we're still savages?
Yes. You know what? I think you hit on quite a few items. And believe me, there is a lot to, as you mentioned at the top of this, to unpack. It is incredible. We didn't really, you know, and I can speak for myself, I didn't think that it would rise any type. If we had this discussion months ago, there was nothing in the world that you could have told me that would have indicated that it would rise to this level, an incident like this. But it literally checks, honestly, I don't even know how many boxes. There are so many different levels to this. But to comment on what you said, Eugene Davis, about this, the whole thing with the Will Smith, and let's just go back a little bit, because there's a lot of, there's some ancillary talk out there, some things floating around in the ether about, you know, past things and this and that. There is the part of it about Chris Rock and his documentary that he did on Good Hair. That people have talked about that. There is a part of this about alopecia that that folks are unaware of. They didn't even know the word existed literally 2 weeks ago. So this, you know, they really didn't. The alopecia, I said, my goodness, that is the word of 2022, is alopecia. And there are going to be some little girls named alopecia now.
My God.
So, you know, believe me, you know, but the thing is, this whole thing, and what I appreciate what you said, because you didn't think that it really rose to the level of, you know, with the comparison, you know, bringing up about Demi Moore, really her movie, it was a big movie at the time. I remember the movie, G.I.
Exactly.
Jane. And she was a gorgeous woman at the top of her career at that time. And to me, it was like Chris said, it was a G.I. Jane joke. He literally said that. And
yes.
It wasn't an and even if it had been a joke that was more so talking directly about her, then what I would have imagined is that they sign up for that. And I think that's what Will was kind of saying in his, you know, quasi-acceptance speech and, you know, pity, I'm sorry, yeah, acceptance speech. What he was saying is that, you know, they, being a celebrity, you sign up for it. Well, believe it or not, his wife is a celebrity. She also signed up for it. It was not
exactly.
This, Chris was not saying, okay, we're talking about your wife, Will.
No.
He said we're talking about, you know, that Jada could play the part. And the truth is, in my opinion, she absolutely could have shut it down in that movie. So I'm
yes.
sorry, in that role, she certainly looked the part. Now,
yeah,
if we
exactly.
talk about, you know, so I didn't think the joke, I get the joke. So maybe she didn't get the joke. She's a little sensitive. You do what everybody else in this industry would do, which is to smile and play along, especially since she had already talked about alopecia. It was already in
exactly.
the public, you know, she had publicly talked about it at the, you know, the red table, white table, green table,
yes,
dinner table.
Yes, of
she had already
course.
Talked about it until ad nauseum.
Yes,
so,
of course she
had. And to add to that, then we saw Will Smith, images of Will from the audience,
yes.
who at first was laughing along with Chris Rock.
In
that's
the beginning,
even to
yes.
add, you know, to what's going on here. And then he shot a look, you know, glanced over at what appeared, you know, Jada appearing to be somewhat sensitive, reacting to the Chris Rock joke. And then he, of course, we see him get on up and go to the stage. And again, listen, let me tell you something. I don't blame the Academy Awards per se, but I look at it that you've already had Kanye West years ago go up with the Taylor Swift thing. And by the way, I do agree with Kanye, what he had to say about that.
Yes,
but that's another,
that, yeah.
that's a sidebar. But the thing is, you saw that, what does it take to have some folks down at the edge of the stage, which could be folks who would otherwise just serve to help the folks who are winning to go walk up the steps. So they could be staged there to walk up, you know, to help the folks up the steps and otherwise stop folks from storming the stage, literally.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
this storm and everything seems to be the order of the day. You know, this ain't the Capitol building. So
no, but I don't think also that they expected that at all. So, you know, that's the Academy Awards is supposed to be a safe place, a safe zone.
Yeah.
And I don't think they expected anyone to react to anything like that.
Well, it sounds like Eugene Davis. Eugene, you're talking about. Let's talk about the other few boxes that need to be kind of literally
okay.
talked about and that were checked. The Academy Awards is not a secret. For the last several years, we're going back that it's kind of been an awareness, at least a good 5-6 years, maybe a few more. That there was something trending on one of the hashtags trending, Oscar So White. And so,
yeah.
You know, and for me, and I've made it public, again, I don't think it's a secret on anybody's level, that Oscars, that it hasn't been all that inclusive. It just
hadn't.
And that's totally common knowledge. It hadn't been that inclusive of people of color, particularly, and especially women, you know, folks who are winning awards, and also members of the Academy, voting members. And when all this stuff came to light a few years ago, that's when that hashtag #OscarSoWhite was trending. So it took several years. Finally, for the first time in the history of this Academy Awards, you had a black producer who was pulling together the show. You had three amazing female women comedians who were hosting for the very first time ever two African-American women, and
yes.
Amy Schumer, who herself is battling a form of alopecia, and we'll talk about that in just a bit, but just amazing. So all of this, and it was supposed to have been, it was being billed literally as the night for Will Smith. So it was also your night.
Exactly.
Right? Anytime, and listen, let me just, I don't think I'm giving anything away, Eugene, by telling folks, if you're seated in the front, when the camera pans the audience, those folks who are, you're seated in the front for a reason. It's
yeah,
usually
exactly.
So that the camera can keep coming to you throughout the night to remind everybody it's your night. And also,
exactly.
So you can easily jump right to the stage to collect your award. Not so much to have easy access to beat up the host or what have you, or to beat up the,
yes.
the folks talking there. Now, Chris Rock is a comedian. The other side of
yeah.
it is that folks who are comedians, they tend to, you know, they say some things. I don't think when Chris Rock was writing this alopecia joke, if you will, and I shouldn't call it alopecia, but the G.I. Jane joke, I really
yeah.
don't think he thought, oh, this is going to get her, you know, pardon the pun, the dandruff really riled up here. I really don't. This is like the most, for most folks, the most innocuous, innocent.
Yeah.
Innocent.
Yeah,
it,
I agree.
It's really... There was no cursing in the joke. There was no name calling.
No.
There was no body parts talked other than, you know, the expression of, you know, just having, you know, shaved head, if you will, or buzz cut. My big thing about it also, there's a comedian. I don't know if you guys out there know him. His name is Ricky Gervais. And, Eugene, Ricky Gervais usually hosts the Golden Globe Awards. Now, Ricky Gervais is a very salty, you know, he roasts the comedian. And
right.
I said, if I could perhaps see somebody, you know, get up on stage. I don't condone violence, but I could see somebody maybe taking a swing or two. But Chris Rock, I
right.
mean,
exactly.
you know, just unreal. Unreal. But guess what Ricky Gervais said? Ricky
uh-huh.
Gervais said, and folks out there, this is not my show, this is Ricky. Ricky Gervais, the comedian, said that he couldn't believe that joke warranted, you know, the slap. He said if he had been the comedian hosting the show, he wouldn't have talked about alopecia, Jada's alopecia. He would have talked about her boyfriend.
Okay. There was so much more that could have been talked about.
Hey, there's so much more that could have, you know, and to see her sitting there
yeah.
all like her, you know, first of all, let us just break it on down. I really have to say this, Eugene Davis, because a lot of people may not understand. Alopecia, no one dies of alopecia. Let's just be clear about this. The way that the statements all came flurrying out later and Will Smith's supposed apology, if you will,
mm-hmm.
kind of referenced alopecia, like his wife had like a, I'm sorry, but I'm paraphrasing, like a dying illness. That's the kind of takeaway I was like, oh my God, it's nothing at all that warrants, it's not cancer.
No,
okay?
It's not.
It is not. And so that's number one. Number two, there are over 50 different types of alopecia.
Yes,
so
we
also have to take that into account. The type of alopecia for me, looking at this situation, from the following her own expression and talking and all this stuff for all these years, you know, to me, Eugene, this really, you know, what just from the outside looking at it, I'm going to raise my hand and say, yes, I believe it's alopecia from what I could see from looking through TV
mm-hmm.
screens. But the type of alopecia might not be what I feel it was leading you to believe the type of alopecia You know, it's I didn't look at it as so much an internal disorder. I looked at it as traction alopecia, a form of traction alopecia for me. That's the box of pink protect for me, which stems from a lack of education and possibly abuse. So that what I kind of pulled from it. So I'm turning to you, and I only say this because I'm hoping, Chris, that Will is nowhere in sight. I don't want to get a slap about it, but that's what I'm thinking. So how do you weigh it? Because a lot of hair people felt like I did.
Yeah, I agree. This form of alopecia that she hasn't come out and said which form of it is, but we know that alopecia is a disease that develops when the body's immune system attacks its own hair follicles, you know, which causes hair loss, and it could be anywhere on the body. And then coming out, going into post-COVID, COVID could have a lot to do with it too. The fact that, you know, life wasn't normal caused a lot of stress on a lot of women. And in this, the cases of alopecia were quite high in this time. You know, people were dealing with a lot of stress, and we know that stress is a very much culprit that attacks the immune system.
Exactly.
So we're finding a lot of cases of alopecia because of this. And unfortunately, it can become a chronic condition, you know.
Correct.
And and sometimes there are no turning back from this, and sometimes there is. So it all depends on the individual and their health system and how their doctors help them deal with it and what they, you know, there's natural remedies, too, that can help, certain vitamins that can help. But what I was going to say is, so for me, I didn't think that Jada had a severe case because there would have been bald patches. Her hair looked even all over. So she might have had thinning areas, but I didn't see areas that were completely like bald and like shiny skin at all.
At the award show. Now, I don't know if you've seen, it's swarming the internet, but there were other pictures of her with what appeared to be patches. But even at I saw some, but we don't know if those are real, true pictures. We don't know. That could have been a design. There's so much that we don't really know. Because we are not there with her. My only thing, this whole thing, Eugene, it harkens back to what you said, you know, they've talked about this. She's talked about it. It's public knowledge.
So she's fair game.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, if you were so sensitive about, you know, about if you really, because, you know, again, you don't have to look far to see the videos. I've watched the videos of her saying how talking about her hair loss didn't bother her. She literally said this right on camera. So I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to be sensitive that night, let me grab a wig.
Go get yourself a wig.
You know, wigs are all
the rage.
And not
the Nutty Professor.
Nobody is going to be upset, and no one would have thought twice about it. And
not
that joke.
At all.
Right, and the joke might never, it wouldn't have landed the same if she had been wearing a wig and he came out and said G.I. Jane joke, everybody would have laughed at him. So, at Chris, because that would have been inappropriate, not in a bet, but it just wouldn't have been funny. So the whole thing is, you know, for me, I look at this and I say, how on God's earth? It just was not that, you know. Now, what about all the fallout? And we didn't talk about it culturally. Now, culturally, other than a little bit about, you know, being, you know, in terms of being a person of color and how, you know, this affects, it was looked at literally about now that we're there, you know, like I was joking about it, but it's serious in a way, but it also makes me, I'm like, my goodness. We won all these, you know, years of the Academy Awards that was not all that inclusive, And then we finally, you know, we get to, you know, go there, and we kind of turned it out, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, really. And it still is going on. It has legs to this.
Yeah, it does. And you know what's so amazing about what you just said? I've seen some other pictures, and I also saw, like, the video footage when Will Smith came back and sat down in his seat after he sat Chris Rock. And if you look at Lupita's face, I'm saying her name right?
Hold it. Who?
Lupita? Lupita?
Lupita. Lupita Nyong'o. Lupita, yes. Sorry. Who was sitting? Yeah, oh, I love the look at her. I watched Lupita the entire time.
She was like, yes. Are you really doing this right now?
Lupita's eyes and face tells its whole.
It tells everything. And I think that was disappointment. Are you really doing this right now?
Could
you not have controlled yourself? Look where you are. Look where you are. We're in the front row of this academy, and you're going to show out.
And show out. And see, to me, I agree. If maybe, because Chris tried to bring, you know, and Chris literally said after, you know, being screened that, you know, keep my wife's name out your mouth, he said, okay, I will. It ain't that big a deal. That's what Chris was like.
Right.
I will.
Exactly.
Can we move on? You know, that's what he was saying.
And then I started to think, too, Will's attitude, the arrogance, like, so even when he walked away from Chris after he slapped him, that look and that
it was a
walk,
it looked like a swagger smirk.
Yes, and it was so arrogant. It was so arrogant. And for me, that's when I lost a little bit of respect for Will.
Well, you did well by losing only a little bit of respect.
I thought about it, the more I lost it. But because I was rooting for Will, but it's almost like he made that Academy Award, because I watched King Richard and it was amazing, but it just took everything away from that moment.
Well, like they say,
before the season started on the red carpet, Denzel went up to him and he said to him, when you are at your highest moment, that's when the devil will come in. And Denzel went further when he was at T.G. Jakes. He repeated it again. He had a conversation, I believe, with Will Smith about the devil. And he was just like, you got to watch it.
Well, see, that's remarkable, Eugene, just in itself, that is what we hear that was shared. You know, I'm blown away. But I think this could have – do you think – that this could have dissipated, could have been kind of disappeared a little bit in his acceptance speech, which came up within the hour after the big slap.
Yeah.
That's what I should call it, change it from Slapgate to the big slap. You know, do you think after the big slap that, and before he got his award, when he was getting his award, that one thing that would have made a difference out there, folks, this is how I look at this. The one thing that would have made a difference, that in his acceptance speech, along with the teary eyes, you know, and all of that, looking back at so many times of being nominated and being, you know, praised for work but didn't get any recognition as far as the Academy is concerned, the one thing that he could have done that would have wiped away everything, potentially, and that is to say, Chris, man, I'm sorry. All you have one line. One little line.
Yes.
And
even
moved
if he was
on.
Even if he was acting it, he should have just
been. Right. That's where his acting chops could have really been on display. And he could have just one little line. The other thing that I do have to ask you about, Eugene, just, you know, being a husband, being a person out there, just a person, you know, and fitting into this whole thing. What about the wife, you know, she's catching a lot of flack and backlash. They're saying that she should have stopped him from storming the stage.
Absolutely.
Do you think she should have stopped him from storming the stage?
I think she could have been, no matter how upset he was, the voice and with reason for him to contain self-control. But I think she played the victim. and encouraged it.
Wow.
I don't think she could have easily. So what difference is it? Okay, think about just our history when it comes to slavery. When we had the white masters and we had the woman of the house, and how she would encourage the husband to beat the slave, all based on her attitude or her response. So her response to things would encourage the master to beat the slave, or her, would encourage the master to have leniency and grace.
Wow. Well, what about this, Eugene? I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know if you guys out there saw it, because, again, there's a million pieces floating out there on the internet, literally. I mean, honestly, it's probably, you know, I would say way up towards a billion, because there were 3 billion folks watching it. 3 billion.
Yes.
And if you're going to screw up, you don't want to screw up in front of 3 billion people. You will never live it down. Am I right? You're never going to live it down. But there's that video clip that shows. Now, I don't know if this is a real thing, but there is clearly a video that's out there floating that shows from a different angle, and it shows the moment that Chris Rock received the slap, and you can see it shot behind Jada, and she literally appeared to be laughing, making the mannerisms of somebody hunched over laughing at that moment. That's the video clip. You can see it with your own eyes out there. And so that really, you know, folks are just kind of going in. Do you want to see this? I came across something that said there's going to be a Red Table Talk episode about it. Is this something that you are willing to overlook, and will you go to the next Will Smith movie?
No, I'm not. And I'm unsure about Will Smith, although I don't doubt his talent, and I don't think doubt that he's done an amazing job up to this far. I know he's human, and things happen, and this is totally out of character as far as we know for him to do something like this in the public eye. But then again, at the same time, I don't trust Jada. It's always been something about her, like, is she jealous of Will that she encouraged this in order to get attention back on herself? So then now she can do this Red Table Talk and get all these ratings, and now she can spearhead alopecia ambassador. Who knows what her agenda was? Because you remember, she's always taking second chair to Will. And sometimes even almost invisible, and she's tried so hard to keep herself relevant, but not relevant in Hollywood. She's relevant in her own forms that she created, but not in Hollywood.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you this, Eugene. If there's anything that has emanated, has come out of this whole episode, chaos, incident, slapgate, whatever you want to call it, if there's one thing that I'm grateful about, well, there's two. One is that Chris Rock didn't slap the bejesus out of him back. And the word alopecia being now widely accepted and understood. And it's also likely the most Googled word of the year thus far. So I say that for the Hair Radio Morning Show, we've been talking about alopecia for 27 years. And so and there's never been you know how many times I've introduced, a trichologist or a hairstylist or someone, or just the education of the word alopecia, and then had to then describe it 50 times. So if I had a dime for every time I've said the word alopecia, I'd be a rich man today. And now everybody knows the word. And I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful because now I can announce some big news, Eugene Davis. And again, folks, if you kind of just tuned in, I've just not given any follow-ups, but if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Of course, we are with the incredible Eugene Davis in Conversations on Hair today. And this special, a very special edition, all about our perspective of this whole big issue over, you know, the Slapgate, if you will. So I say some big news, and that is that, guess what, Eugene? I'm creating this foundation, which I have long started the work on. I started this work several years ago because there really is not, and there are tons of organizations on alopecia, but there really isn't an organization that speaks to the form of alopecia that I'd like to focus on, where it affects the Black community, particularly the women in the Black community, and that is the traction alopecia. Because so that's my first thing I wanted to get out. And what do you think about that, Eugene?
I think that's great. I think it's well needed, and I don't think a lot of people have invested in the information and the knowledge or the help that people need for people to understand.
Exactly. And that's exactly what this is about. It is the process of education and information. And that's what we've been doing. And we've been doing the work for decades already. If anybody's out there been beating the drum on this, good grief, we have.
Okay.
So I'm thrilled. So, Eugene, I've got to say, folks, yes, is that not nice? So I'll be leaning on you, literally, to help us to navigate the waters out there, to keep the hairstylists informed and all that wonderful good stuff as well, and most importantly, to help the public to identify different, there are many different types, as we said, of alopecia. And this is just the beginning. Just that you're aware of the word, you've already taken steps to potentially change your circumstance with it. So I'm super excited about that. And I think that this is
amazing.
The beginning.
Sounds amazing. And just to reinforce that, too, is one of the things that I do post about alopecia, hair loss during menopause, all these things I talk about constantly. So I know what you mean when you say that it was like a beating a dead horse for so long because nobody was really listening. But now that we have people's attention, I think that the Hair Radio Show is an important tool that people can learn more about with these conversations. And also, can I just put this out there that Facebook, I have The Fabric of Hair by Eugene Davis, and there I post as a private group, they can always request to join, but I constantly post about hair loss and remedies, some products that are available, and some of them are like vitamins you can take to aid in promoting follicle health. So,
Eugene, is it possible, I love that, is it possible that perhaps in the next episode or so of Conversations on Hair and here on the show, that you can bring some of those, treatments, the things that we believe can work best with some of the common, again, I say the most common forms of alopecia, because there's a lot. You'll be here literally for a long time if you're going through all of that. And something I referenced earlier, one of the hosts, Amy Schumer, the comedian, now she's going through, I can never pronounce the form of alopecia she's just talked about recently, literally within, it had nothing to do, this was before the whole Oscar slap. She just mentioned that she had a form of alopecia on pulling out your hair. That is, that's right. And so that form, a lot of the alopecias, some can be referenced to or in connection or tandem with psychological issues and things that might warrant some other types of medical attention. But just the fact that she mentioned it, and again, a coincidence, So there's so many different types of alopecia. I encourage you, if you have not done so, of course, follow EugeneDavis.hair and all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it here. We're always going to, continue with this amazing talk about this subject. And it's still going on. So, you know, we'll stay on top of it, Eugene. We're going to have to.
I will. And I think the word you were looking for is trichotillomania.
Yes, I can never say the word.
Yeah, it's a long word.
Yeah,
I
try being careful.
Yeah,
exactly. And there are a lot of folks who are dealing with that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's definitely out there. And then as Eugene was saying, a lot of internal things and all kinds of, you know. But let's hope that she gets the help that she needs for her alopecia. And so many other folks, if nothing, again, just the being educated about it is the first step in turning this tide. And again, we'll keep you informed on this new alopecia foundation that specifically is going to speak to, traction alopecia and education. So I'm super excited.
Amazing.
Is that not nice?
Yes.
We bring it, Eugene. We bring it.
Well, yeah.
All right.
No way.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I was just thinking, and you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, the Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media, and they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Camu Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in, you know, in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 7 years now, 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowicz. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin, like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah. I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curl it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put, like, a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign, and backstage they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist, and this guy didn't know how to do braids, and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it. And I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely. Because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin. Or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing. Because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup. And I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag. Like, Leonie, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent but it's white, like help me out here. So yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this it's the same, but this has more red in it, and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this, and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. I'm like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin. So we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there. They know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they're just like, oh my god, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not. It's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation. It's everything. And it's sad. It's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
It is Thursday morning, June 9th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines, and this is our amazing host chat. I'm going to bring to the line my amazing co-star. You guys know her already. We're talking about Nicole Marie. Nicole Marie, good morning. Again, Thursday, June 9th
morning,
of 2022.
Carrie.
Yes, good morning. It's our show number 724.
Good morning to you.
Let me get that.
Yeah, 724. Good morning to all of
yes.
our fans as well.
Exactly, yes. I'm so excited to talk to everybody. You know, by Thursday, we are it's like drudging up a hill, you know. Well, we start. Thursdays are always a tough day, even though today we're playing a lot of throwback music. You guys may have discovered that already.
Great music.
Thank you. We led in this morning with New Attitude from Patti LaBelle. And, the spinach with LB around a few minutes ago. Good. But like I said, Thursday mornings, we're always kind of, a little bit more, takes a little bit more energy to get up out of bed and get the show going. Tuesdays, you're always excited.
But still, happy
Tuesdays
Thursday.
Like from Mondays. big time happy Thursday. And we're here to share your Thursday. If you guys are just joining us, this morning was great. We replayed Eugene Davis and myself. We were talking about the big slap, of course, and then over
can't
into alopecia and all of that. No, so, and we'll be checking in with all the folks involved in that, and we will keep the conversation going about alopecia.
Yes.
It's not something to forget about. We need to keep our foot on the pedal about this. So we'll. And speaking of Eugene Davis, he'll be up about 8 o'clock this morning with another edition, all new edition of Conversations with Hare, so that you have not heard. So that will be all new at about 8 o'clock this morning. And then, of course, following this wonderful host chat this morning, we'll have Otto join us, and he's standing
by
the wing, and Michael Hopkins and all the folks, we appreciate you guys. We really do.
Definitely. Definitely appreciate them.
So how are you doing today, Nicole Marie? What's going
on? I'm doing great.
Down there in
Mississippi? I'm doing great. Well, it's been raining, so it's kind of cloudy this morning, but it's definitely going to be another hot day. But it's great getting the kids up and moving for their activities this morning. So it's a busy morning.
Good. Yeah, up here it was really, in Brooklyn, New York, folks, it was crazy this morning, just awful storms and all that kind of stuff. And it made me think.
Lots
we're
of storms
going to
around
be,
last night.
I agree. We're going to be, because folks have asked, Carrie, what happened to the highs and lows with the weather? So we're working on all of that, folks. We'll look bring you the weather highs and lows very soon. So I just wanted to give you that little update and that little note on that. So let me tell you what else is going on. First of all, I want to thank everybody. We also this morning really kind of led on in with the incredible Francesca Rivetti, who we kind of introduced her a little bit maybe over the last couple of weeks, but this was her very first time doing an interview with. She's out at the premiere show. She did the premiere show in Orlando. The premiere organization, that's like a big trade show for the hair industry, kind of like in New York where I met Otto, like the IBS, International Beauty Show. The premiere show, the premiere people are based in Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And, and they've been around for a long time. And I kind of remember them building up over the years. I have flown down to Orlando, and I've been to their office offices in Orlando, and had a chance to be part of their show. They did one in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was just fantastic to be there. So great folks. So she brings us a special interview that she did at the show with a hairstylist. So we'll get that on for you again, probably about 8:30 or so this morning following Eugene Davis. And we'll get a chance to kind of chat a little bit about that and just continue with some more coffee tea conversations in the very last half hour of the show today.
Exciting.
So, yeah, lots of stuff to unpack this morning. Now, what did you think? It was a big to-do yesterday on the show. We talked a lot in the last couple of days. We're celebrating the entire month of June. So for fathers around the country and literally around the world for that much, we played the Father's Day special. We're going to get a little bit more conversation in a little later in the next half hour with the Coffee Tea Conversations folks. But what did you think about the Father's Day celebration show that we aired yesterday?
I definitely just absolutely just loved it. I thought it was just very introspective. They just poured their hearts out and I just loved it. They just all definitely showed just how proud they were to be the fathers in their children's life. You know, they talked about their kids. They talked about what they instilled in their kids, you know,
what
the different things that happened.
That really caught your attention, or some comments that they made that really got you?
I like the advice to the young fathers that Michael gave, just how just a total responsibility that it is to, you know, stand up and actually be a father. I love what Otto said about, you know, regardless if the relationship works, whether you're married, whether it's, you know, you're not married, but you still have a responsibility in that child's life, whether the relationship works or not. And, yeah, you know, you step up and be dad. Also, child, you deal with them individually. They all have different personalities, and they need different things from you. When Eugene was talking about how he instilled confidence in his children, how he invests in them, how he listens to them, and that's very important. They're children, but you still listen to them. It's very important.
Yeah.
You're the parent. You're giving advice and so forth, but you still you listen to them. It's very important.
Absolutely. And I liked how Eugene Davis talked about the internet and how they kind of managed it in his household.
And limit their time.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. That's something that, you know, in this day and age, I can't not imagine raising children with the internet. The internet is like great. It, to me, it's a big, scary monster. And
and it's so accessible.
And
you know, there's so much.
And we're letting it right into
good
our
and bad.
Home.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's too influential. It has too much influence.
And that's the
like
whole
that,
reason why the communication needs to go on between the parent and the child, because you need to know, you know, what's going on, what they're listening to, what they're doing.
I agree. I think, to me, it's too much influence. You would not generally, to me, that it's like your kid. I don't have any kids, so this is how I'm guessing. But I imagine that, you know, your kid makes a new friend down the street. You wouldn't let your kid be friends with, you know, some 60 or 80, you know, year old, man or lady down the street who you don't know. That reminds me of what the internet is every day, that you let your kid just go, you know, it's the worst that you could imagine. And where it could potentially be for good. Nothing, as you can see in America, seems that it's just made for good. I know I'm a little cynical sounding this morning. I apologize for that. But, you know, it's just a very scary thing. And like I was thinking, even with all the things that are going on in society, I don't even think I would, I don't even know if I would send my kids out of the house. They would be homeschooled, you know. But you can't live yet. You can't. That's not living.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, per se. So, you know, so I get it.
As far as the social media, you know, there are safeguards that you can use on the devices that parents can track and actually set on the devices. So that's definitely something that parents should utilize, because you can control different apps and different things that your kids access on their phones or tablets and all of that. So that's very important as well.
I agree with you. And the real truth is, it's kind of sad, because if you don't give, they really got us folks out there, and I mean they, the techie people, because what happens is, if you do not give this to your children or make them a part of this, then they could potentially be left behind, I'm thinking. And in terms of what if it's like, you unfortunately you're just dragged into it regardless.
Don't have a choice. It's there.
You don't have
And the children now, they don't know life without technology. You know, without a cell phone. You know, growing up, I didn't have a cell phone until I was much older, when that, you know, technology started coming around and all of that. But these kids now, they don't know life without technology, without a cell phone, without an iPad.
Wow. How do you feel about
what
that,
they have
Nicole
to have.
Marie? Yeah.
Well, it's good and bad. Right. It's like we were just talking about. My kids, they have their devices, but they're monitored on their devices. It's not just free reign, and they don't have the devices all the time. So, like Eugene was talking about, he and his wife kind of monitor, you know, like he was saying, you know, both him and his wife work at home. They tell their kids, okay, we're working until such and such a time. And then they get out of the house. They go do something. They get them away from those devices. And I think there has to be that balance. You just can't let them sit up and be entertained by an iPad or a cell phone or just like with TV or anything else. You need to interact with them. You need to be doing other things with them.
Well, I don't know if you've seen that meme.
That's what kids are doing.
True. Did you see the meme?
Like a babysitter.
Well, this is true. That's out there. And it cracks me up. Because what the meme does, it says back in the old days, it was a picture and it showed that in the old days, we, the children, we used to be scammering to go outside. We, you know, the parents, you know, we couldn't wait to get outside. Now
we entertained ourselves.
Parents have to force the kids to go outside.
Yes.
I said, wow.
They don't want to be outside. Right.
They don't. How crazy.
But we had a good time being outside, you know? You loved it.
Yeah.
You know, when those street lights came on, you had to be home. But it was nice being outside.
Use your imagination. We, you know, and I grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, so we played things like hopscotch and jacks, which was like 50 cent or something back in the day. Mm-hmm. Things that
red light, green light,
exactly. Yeah, tag and running around. Uh-huh. Things that didn't cost money because nobody had money then. And we had fun. Now everything is, there's isolation, a great deal of isolation.
Yeah.
Even
and
though,
now, what do you hear from the kids? I'm bored. I don't have anything to do because they're not,
you know, having other greater mental challenges. You know, so this stuff, and we don't know the long term effects of these things. I just, my heart, where we are in society, and this society is a very strange beast about stuff. So I don't know
where
we're
going. We're in a strange place right now.
Yeah, I just hope for the best. I really do, because I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I and we're going to continue this. This conversation is always going to go on. you know, not to be against technology or anything, but you've got to keep an eye
on
this.
A good thing as well.
It can be. There are aspects of it. For me personally, I'm thinking one or two things, maybe, at best. One or two things. The rest of it can just be tossed into the garbage. For me personally. Really. There's one or two things that I can say, okay, that's beneficial and a great addition to. Well, that's a good question. I think one is the convenience of having the phone, a telephone in your pocket. So being able to talk on the phone. Conveniently in your pocket. For me, I always have my cell phone in a different room or something. I'm looking at it like it's an old desk phone from the old days, not realizing that it's much more mobile. That's why they called it mobile phone.
Mobile phone.
So that's one of the things that I could do without. And then I could do without all the other garbage of the internet that the internet brings. I really could. With no problem. So, you know, I'm going to put out a little, you know, request. If I could go down with the Amish people, you know, make room for Carrie Hine, I would in a heartbeat.
You like it
they,
simple.
They were on to the right thing with this stuff because, man.
So challenging.
I take my hat off. That's all I can say. Until they make, I think that's a great name for a new radio show or a TV show. Make room at the Amish place, because I really think I might have to get down there, Nicole Marie.
Uh-oh,
Carrie. I'm thinking about it. Now, I think that Eugene Dews will be back up at 8 this morning. He really will. It'll be all new. And over at YouTube, a lot of folks don't realize that we have a YouTube channel. We really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think mine is under Carrie Hines or the Hair Radio Morning Show. You could check those and sign up. It's kind of nice. I've got a few videos out there.
Very nice videos.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it's interesting. So please, you know, remember to follow us on social media and all that wonderful good stuff. I'm super, super excited about it. And we really got more to get to this morning. So let's take a little bit of a commercial break. We'll be back with a whole lot more this morning of the
All
Right Radio Morning Show. So I'm super hyped. Nicole, are you ready?
Me too. I'm ready.
All
Let's
right.
go. And everybody stay
All
with
right.
us.
All right. This is Mitchell. Yes, everybody stay with us. Thank
are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
With my soul, I had nowhere to turn, I had nowhere to go. Lost sight of my dream, thought it would be the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would break. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed down, and I tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, survived my darkest hour. My faith kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way.
was not built to break. No, no. I got to know my own strength.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and, moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs, so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
OrganicLoveCollection.BigCartel.com.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It's about 7:34 in the morning on Thursday, June 9th. And yes, we are live this morning. It's our show number again, 724, 724, as we march towards our big 1,000th broadcast celebration. So don't know when that'll be, but we'll keep you posted here each day with a new count, as folks do like this. I got to bring to the line Nicole Marie, my amazing guest star out of Water Valley, Mississippi. And again, happy mid-show, Nicole Marie. Yeah, where's that midpoint?
And happy Thursday. Welcome to mid-show.
Exactly. And it's about time for coffee, tea, and conversation.
Conversation.
I call it. Yeah, coffee, tea, conversations. As you guys know, it's usually between 7 and 8. You know, typically we try to get things in here and just the kind of review of things. And sometimes we're carrying over conversations from our host chat with Nicole and myself, and got to bring to the line a couple of the players in this next half hour. We're talking with Otto, Otto-matic. You guys know Otto.
Hello.
Out of Hamilton, New Jersey, outside.
Good morning, Otto.
Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Marie.
Good morning, sir. So how are you doing, and have you been listening to the broadcast this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Absolutely. It's a staple in my daily life. I enjoy.
Really? Well, what did you hear this morning, Otto? We're going to put Otto on the hot seat this
put him
morning.
What
did you hear, Otto, Otto-matic?
Well, actually, Eugene Davis, alopecia kind of touches my heart because of my daughter. I think I shared that with you and the fans.
Yeah.
So that always is special. It brings me back to them days and how, you know, my daughter was affected, but she got through it. She's a trooper.
Yeah.
That host chat was powerful for me. It's
well,
a sore spot.
Before you get to the host chat, before you get there, Otto, I just wanted to say on the alopecia, for folks who just might have joined us, we ran Eugene Davis. We did a whole thing with this early this morning where we re-ran the alopecia talk, which was just one of my favorite connections with Eugene on this, and it was just great to hear. So I was listening with everybody else, and I loved it. And
Earlier,
Eugene will be up in about a half hour from now, a little less than that, with an all-new episode of Conversations with Hair. So we're really excited about that.
And
so,
one thing, Carrie, if I could just add, with the alopecia, I had heard of alopecia, but I did not know that there were so many different types of alopecia. So this has definitely been an education for me, and I thoroughly am just enjoying just having the education.
Learning
about alopecia.
There are quite a few of them, and some have easy names to remember, some don't, and some are shortened this and that. I believe there's about 40 or 50. There are a lot.
Yeah.
And they cover
so
all
it's
different
definitely so important
across the board.
To share this information,
It's and as I said, I want to start a foundation about alopecia, and particularly the alopecia that is most identified with African American women, which is the the traction alopecia, which I don't
traction
feel it's proper coverage in the alopecia world out there for the foundations that I have, and I've had. Listen, let me just, speaking of alopecia, and I know I'm going to get back to you in a moment on all that you have to share this morning, but I remember having the different organizations. I don't just talk, you know, out of my nose, we'll say. I've had the alopecia people here, and not just the alopecia organizations, which I have. I've had several right here on our broadcast. What struck me as the issue is that the alopecia organizations that I've had, they deal a lot more so with the alopecias that are triggered, you know, internally, you know, through different things that we can get into. But the traction alopecia, I will talk about, let's just put it that way as we kind of move forward. Because it has a lot more to do with education than anything, and I think that that's the part that and for some reason these organizations that I've encountered who pretty much put things out to the world as it pertains to alopecia, and I get the emails and stuff all the time, and they never. Ever. I've had them tell me straight up, we don't mention or talk or deal with traction.
Oh, wow.
And so, I've had that. And what I believe, you know, and this just in their defense, because some folks feel that it is the only alopecia that can be avoided, so to speak, totally avoided. So that is something why I say through education. And Eugene, so we'll get on some of these experts. We have Francesca Rossetti. You'll hear from her a little later this morning as well. She'll be on about right after Eugene at about 8:30 or so. She has a short interview that she's leading in with for the first time on our network. So we're real happy. I had it on early this morning. I'm going to get it on again for the folks who just kind of tuned in. But that's alopecia. Listen. I mean, and I will continue to talk about alopecia until literally the cows come home because this is something, it's always been very important to me. I have not had to go through the situation that you went through, Otto, as you had pointed out about your daughter. But, you know, alopecia affects a lot of folks, and everybody has kind of like a different type of horse in the race on this. So that's why it's so much,
Right.
I would love to hear Eugene Davis, Ms. Rivetti, speak about the emotional impact that it causes for the women that because I know my daughter, you know, I wanted to take my hair and put it on her, like I felt so bad because she was a young lady, and you know it was just gut wrenching to watch her cry and constantly looking in the mirror. I said stop looking at it. I mean, it was just so someday I would love to hear more, you know, in regard, I know the medical side and all the, how does it occur, but the emotional impact also that I lived through with my daughter, the poor little girl lived through, you know, as a
Absolutely. And Otto, we've talked about this on the show too, because what happens is with things, you know, folks think that a lot of times other people around you are not affected by, you know, it's just hair. It's your hair,
yeah.
You know. But
it'll grow back, wear a hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And that's not always
right.
the case, as we've talked a lot about here. And I remember the one lady that was on a couple years back with Dr. Emerson, and you know, she's a trichologist out of California. And I remember that the lady, she's like, her husband didn't know she was wearing a weave all those years. And then the kids,
Wow. You
know, and I love what the other ladies, you know, she's like, well, you know, my boys, they're very educated. So it wasn't that I couldn't talk to them. They're very smart, you know, but I couldn't tell
them. I remember
them. I could show them my head. So
yes.
This is so, yeah, and you talk about the effects emotionally. Yeah, as we're seeing
right.
things play out, that's what goes back to that big slap we talked about early this morning with Eugene
yeah.
Davis on
yeah.
the show.
Yes.
That's what you talk when it comes to an emotional toll. I think we saw that on Jada's face. So there are many different levels to this, and that conversation is going to go on. Trust me, we could literally talk about this for the entire rest of the show this morning.
Right.
And that's
right.
all we would talk about.
Yeah.
But listen, I want to take a moment. I know Michael will be on with us in just a moment. Michael Hopkins, who is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. He's now a legacy host right here on our show. So we're going to get his communication in. One of the topics I do want to kind of bring up when we get everybody on here, and that is, what is about this whole thing? We started talking about Monique. I had a chance to, again, visit this, and I feel I was watching the video, like, early this morning with the comedian, this whole thing with, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Monique, the comedian from The Parkers and the stand-up lady and won an Oscar for the movie Precious. And then I saw the one of the videos with Dio Hughley. I'm going to ask you guys first. You know, Nicole Marie, you kind of brought us up to date on it yesterday very well, or these last couple. Can you just touch on it a little bit for folks? Because there's a part of this that, for me, is very, I'm not cool with it. You know, can you talk a little bit about it?
Right. Well, apparently, D.L. Hughley had the opportunity to work with Monique. I guess there was a comedy explosion show this past weekend. There were some issues with the contract and so forth. And when Monique went on stage, she was talking about this contract to the public. You know, the fans are there to hear comedy, not to hear about what's going on with this private situation and her contract. And apparently DL was not going to go on or something. I guess Monique wanted to be the headliner, or thought she was the headliner, or whatever.
Yeah,
there was some confusion.
Yeah.
So much confusion. Well, there were comments
on that video. Yeah,
yes,
did
he
you
did.
See the video
yes, and explained.
He
was going on
it.
About.
Yeah.
Exactly, and was saying that, you know, he can see why there were issues. He sees exactly what Tyler Perry saw, what Lee Daniels saw, what Oprah saw, and so many other people that she has had issues with. And he says that, you know, he was just trying to give her a chance because his interaction with her previously had been positive. So he was taking a chance. And, you know,
about that, I don't know if you saw the part where he said he had kind of, you know, been warned, not, you know, that he had reservations before about working with her is what he said. And, but he had been to her house, they, you know, or had, you know, ate together, whatever it was, he was in town or something, or she was in something. You know, he was very detailed because he had to kind of combat all this press that we heard, all this coverage. But I love D.L. Hughley, so I love both of these folks. I kind of got off the Monique train for me personally. You guys can make it.
I'm definitely off.
Her as a person. I hope she, you know, comes through all of this and DL as well. But I did not, what little I knew about the situation with the family members, they should be off limits as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Anything between the two of them, that was business. That was business.
Yeah.
And whatever is between the two of them, stays with the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe our good buddy here might have something to say on family issues. Has there been a time where you have had to kind of, you know, tell folks, leave the kids out of it? Michael Hopkins joins us. Yes, I don't just want to bring on Michael Hopkins to join the convo this morning on Coffee Tea Conversations. You're on, Michael Hopkins. Good morning, host of VTR.
Good morning, Michael.
Radio show.
Good morning.
Nicole Marie.
Michael, good
and
morning.
And Perry Hines.
Here we go. Fantastic Four. Was a tremendous trio, and that was a fantastic four.
Well, you know, Michael, you've been listening, and I just wanted to say, you know, what really went through my mind is that I wanted to say, you know, when it comes to the children, you may have had to tell folks, keep my children's names out, you know, the rest, out of your mouth. I couldn't resist that one. But, yeah, that kind of idea, you know, do you expect people to include children in grown-up arguments? I would never think to talk about, somebody's kids. Michael, how do you feel about this?
No, you don't bring people to kids, wives, dogs, cats, and you don't, this is supposed to be grown folks
in
business.
I'm sorry, she did, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't do things like that. You know, there was a time where if it was business, it was business. I mean, even, we may kind of laugh about, say, like the mafia and, you know, and all that, and people get enamored with all that stuff. But at least the one thing you could say, folks had a code. And the code was certain things. It's just like growing up back in the day.
But Michael, we're not going to condone any of
We're not condoning them or anything like that.
We're going to dance off of that one. But I do want to bring the attention to this whole thing because, to me, when I hear that you've talked about the man's kids and his, all the way down to the dog, you said, which has, and he said it himself, he said this had nothing to do with that.
Nothing at all.
It's just
a low blow.
Listen, if we're going to do real talk this morning, I have to just tell you how I feel really. I've listened to them. Like I said, I'm a fan of Monique. I thought she's a great actress, and I thought she's a funny lady. Is her talk a bit on a raunchy side? Well, yeah, but there's a brand for that, and that's her brand, and that's, there's, you know, folks who love that, and that's fine. That's what she does. D.L., where he can talk just about anything, but to me, D.L. Hughley is a great thinker. He's much more profound and introspective as far as I've observed, and he's a very intelligent man. And to me, I just hope that we can get past all this crazy stuff. To me, it's like somebody's just acting out for, you know, to get attention. That's what it feels like to me. And
that's what it looks like to me.
You all feel that way? Okay, I thought it was
pretty much.
It just seems like somebody's just kind of doing, you know, because it's too much.
I can't get my way, so let me throw a tantrum. Let me cause a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To put the attention on me. It's all about me.
Wow.
That's what it looks like, and it just looks like, you know, people just, there's
honor. When you're doing business, you're supposed to do honorable things. That's what you're supposed to do.
We all know how that works out, but it's supposed to be honor. I wish folks felt the way you just described it. That is true.
Be professional and handle your business.
Yeah.
I got to turn back to Brother Otto this morning because, Otto, I kind of cut you off early this morning. You were talking about, after you mentioned your daughter with alopecia, and you were kind of leading on in to a whole different part of that, and you had some other things I think you wanted to share. So, Otto, you've got the floor. What did you want to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just leading it. I enjoyed the host chat. I don't mean to go backwards, but I have to. And it all ties into this.
Okay.
It's the cell phone. It's the social media. Things are so accept. You know, everything's out there. I mean, I was raised different. You know, you keep your family stays behind closed doors. You know, and I think this is a perfect example of, you know, the media, social media, that you just go out there and blab everything. That is not how I raise my children.
Wow,
you know,
tell us how you really feel. Wow. Okay.
Well,
wow.
You know what?
All right.
Here's a good one. When technology supersedes humanity, we're all in trouble.
Oh,
you know,
we're way past that.
Oh. Yeah, that was Albert Einstein said that. He saw
Albert Einstein. We love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the handshake, you know, we don't shake hands anymore. And you know what? You go out to eat. I go out to the diner. Me and Curry, you know, knows this. And you don't see families talking. Everybody's got a phone. You're sitting at the table.
Right.
It's a time, and everybody's sitting on their phones, and I work in people's homes, and I see the new babysitter is the tablet. You know what I mean? Like, here.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and like,
really
I love your –
but there's a price you pay for that.
Yeah,
definitely.
And it was intended for safety. Like, you know, if you break down in your car, you got a cell phone. You know, I think now, it's like you said, I love what you said, Curry, about – going outside and play like wiffle ball, wire ball in the city of Philadelphia, different things you can do outside. Nicole mentioned him, Nicole Marie. You know, go outside, play green light, red light, all the things that we're missing, the kids are missing. I tell my kids, you got 5 more minutes on the phone.
They will
and then
throw that tablet at you if you tell them to go play something.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
You know, these days, are you kidding me?
Well, I can hear them look up at you.
Exactly. We've created an appetite for destruction.
Yes.
Please understand that, folks. We've created an appetite for destruction, just like with all these things that you see, where it just shows that we are literally marching off right to the edge of the cliff and going right walking over the cliff. That's all that we're doing, and we can't stop.
We
and it's always about leadership and the real truth is, again, real talk mid-show, you're going to get it live and real from me, you know, and that is that. We don't hold – all of this stuff emanates out of a lack of accountability and being fair to everybody. We wouldn't have all these things. There would not be a whole reason for all of this. All this crazy stuff with these, you know, absolute lunatic-type things and not holding people accountable and not treating people fairly. This is where we have arrived.
It's so true. I never thought that I would see the time I would turn on my TV and watch a commercial with an athlete, and I think he was a football player, telling kids to go outside and play. I was just dumbfounded. I thought, let's see, do I need you to tell me, to tell my kids to go outside and play? What's wrong with that picture? There's something wrong with that picture.
There's a whole lot wrong,
They should do.
It's just, you know, life is just really, it's taken a crazy turn, but we have each other here each morning on this broadcast.
So
I'm loving the Hair Radio Morning Show for the simple reason it gives us an opportunity to commiserate together on these mornings. It also gives us the opportunity to inspire hope. And it is my prayer, if you will, and my desire to make sure that we can, you know, keep the world the right way on its axle. So, you know, I think that's the word.
And I think also, like Nicole Marie, remember you would double dutch and sidewalk chalk, and it's athletic. You know, you're outside and you're getting exercise.
Yes.
I think that's the key, too, why some of the children are obese or late, you know, not lazy, but,
they're
you know, they're
the
not
house.
Outside. Yeah,
yeah,
double dodge, jumping rope, cardio. I mean, it all ties into health, you know?
It does.
I believe
and
the whole
it,
creative
yeah.
spirit, you know?
Yeah.
Being
yeah.
creative
yeah.
and
they,
just having
they get
fun.
A chance to do
and
something
has,
foolish.
Yeah. And you learn how to compete. You learn
yeah,
how to
true.
Compete.
Yeah.
You know, like I beat
exactly.
Timmy last night in basketball. Tonight, tomorrow, I'm going, you know, he's going to. So it taught you how to be competitive. You know, it was athletic, and there was no, back then, I don't think there was as much obesity. I think we were all outside, like Michael said, we were all outside. Running,
exactly.
Running.
Moving around,
yeah.
running, playing, just
and,
having a
and,
fun.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this also has bled over into the military, too. I kept thinking about it. I just had to bring it up because some of us old timers that were in the old military. Yeah,
Michael,
you know you got.
I was looking up. I said, you know what? I don't know. Michael has not mentioned the military yet.
It's coming.
Boy,
you know, you always know it's coming.
I almost made it to the song without a mention.
Would you guys believe, and thank you, Arnold, would you guys believe in some branches of the military they have stress cards?
What?
Wow. Stress cards?
Oh, yeah, and there's some other cards, too. I can't remember the name offhand, where you stress a recruit out, and they can show you the card, and they can go rest for a few minutes or get their thoughts together. I mean, you know, it's like really.
Yeah. Like a mental timeout?
Yeah. And then there's other things, like back in the day when, guys, we were in the military and we would sing things called Jodies.
Yeah.
What were Jodies?
Jodies. It was like songs.
And
they would motivate you. Actually, you felt like a soldier.
I think I heard of those things.
Those kind
yeah,
of Jodies, you know, I left my Cadillac, you know, I'm wearing
like
it on my back and rah, 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 and, you know, here we go, rah, rah, when we were running. And that motivated you. You felt like you were part of a team. You were part of something bigger than you. And, sometimes, you know, the language. And then they had to tone the language down. Then you can't say this word. I'm not condoning or saying what was good or bad, but it's just like what we're talking about. What started to happen, at least what I was seeing, is that you had a bunch of these newfangled soldiers. They weren't soldiers. They were civilians. They just happened to be wearing uniforms that day.
I'm loving this. Do you think we can continue this conversation? Because we're going to be back up a little later this morning with a whole second part to this discussion. So I cannot wait. I didn't know it was going to be quite this volatile, but it is. So listen, I want to kind of get on because we're talking about all of this and remembering the times. I'm going to get this song on, and then right after that, Eugene Davis is here with an all-new episode Conversation with Hair. So stay with us. Here is, now talk about remembering the time, and in honor of Black Music Month, I've opened up the vault, and here is the King of Pop. Stay with us. We'll
stay on the phone at night till dawn. Do you remember all the things you said? Like, I love you so I'll never let you go. Do you remember? Back in the spring, every moment I remember.
Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the all new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say, if it is Thursday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern, it is time for Conversations with Hair with Eugene Davis. It is my great honor to welcome you to today's episode. Eugene, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Carrie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's awesome to have you with us, number one.
As it is, it's always a treat for the fans of the broadcast. You always have something, whether it's product talk or talking about new manufacturers or, you know, helping folks with all kinds of hair concerns and hair issues. You are the legendary Eugene Davis, and I am just happy to have you with us. So what are we getting into today?
Today, I'd like to, you know, continue the conversation about scalp issues. I know at one time we talked about alopecia, but today I want to talk about seborrheic dermatitis, which a lot of people don't know a lot about. And it's a condition that I suffer with. Not actually suffer anymore, but I have it under control. But at one time, I didn't know what it was, and I had to do some drastic things in order to understand it. And usually when I'm trying to discover something or trying to get my research so I can be, you know, really talk about what this is, I go all in. I commit to it 100%. So everyone knows me for my curly hair, and a lot of people are like, oh, I love your hair.
Yeah.
And I grew and I grew my hair out for a while and kept it really healthy and tested a lot of products on it to know what works and what doesn't work. But one of the problems I always had was products really, no matter how natural or not how good they were, they still kind of, my scalp got extremely itchy after a day or two, and I was just washing my hair a lot. So, but a bit more than normal. You know what I mean? And you know, when you have curly hair, you can dry it out very easily by always shampooing.
Exactly.
Especially if you're using some of these things for anti-dandruff or scalp conditions. So that's what was happening. So I went to the dermatologist, and they examined my scalp, and that's when they told me I had seborrheic dermatitis. But they gave me some shampoo.
What were some of the effects of this that you were experiencing that kind of gave you a clue you needed to go to the
Because my scalp, it itched, but not like a normal itch. It was like, I can't even explain it, just extreme itchy. I mean, like, if I was out, I could control it. But once I got home, it was like, you know, that woman that take off her wig and just start my scalp. I would go crazy.
Wow.
So I knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And then, you get, like these scales, like greasy scales on your scalp. But it wasn't like normal dandruff. Like most people would probably chop it up with the dandruff, but it wasn't. Right. It was different because it was a little bit yellow and made my scalp red. And then sometimes when I put product in the hair, my scalp would get irritated. Just like say I had to do something the next day and I rehydrate my hair with a curl refresher, it would burn. And I was like, something's not right with this. And another thing I noticed, it was my eyebrows. My eyebrows would also get really flaky, and I used to rub them so much that I rubbed my eyebrows out. They were gone.
Wow.
So then I knew something wasn't right because I wear big glasses, so no one really saw my eyebrows. So one day I took my glasses down, and I took one to my wife, and I said, are my eyebrows gone? She's like, what did you do? I was like, they just rubbed off. So I knew there was an issue. So I sought out professional help, and that's when they gave me the product. But because of my hair type and the color of my hair was drying out a lot, so I still needed to put product, and so my scalp was still being itchy and, like, unbearable. So finally I was like, look, I'm going to shave it off. I'm going to use the products that they get me, and I'm going to get this under control. And then I'll be able to speak to it and be able to help others. Now, I don't suggest everybody shave off their hair, but for me, I needed to understand what my scalp was doing without the restrictions of hair in the way. I needed to understand
that. Wow. So, well, I'm going to spell this at least for everybody so folks can go and take a, you know, can, you know, we all have Google fingers these days. And it is S-E-B, so it starts S like Sam, E, B like boy, O-R-R-H-O, E-I-C, and then the word dermatitis, of course. So that's a mouthful right there. Let me do that again for you guys who want to write it down. S-E-B-O-R-R-H-O-E-I-C, and, of course, the word dermatitis. Oh, wow. And they say over 3 million cases in America alone per year. Wow. So tell us more. My goodness, Eugene Davis.
And seborrheic dermatitis is most common amongst middle-aged adults. It's like as we grow into it, it happens as we get older. But the condition can be intermediate, and we call it dandruff. But it usually affects people with oily skin or oily hair, and they're the ones that are most at risk of developing this condition.
Wow.
Yes. And they say that infants are born with it. It's like what they call cradle cap in the beginning, which usually they just outgrow it. And like when they have that yellowy kind of dandruff, but then they usually just outgrow it and it treats itself. And usually when we get over the age of 60, it usually disappears or it's less, it doesn't really affect us once we get. So I guess in the middle age from 40 to 60, it really flares up. And then if you have if it does, some people don't, if it does. But it also affects, like, I also found it in different areas, not just my eyebrows, but the folds of my chin where my beard is. I would get like scaly and really sore in there. It comes into the nasal folds. It can be in your ears. I had it in my ears and around the scalp hairline.
Oh, my goodness. And you have to see, folks, there's so many potential causes. I mean, it's like almost you could literally, there's like 30 types of, you know, common, you know, reasons that this could develop. And it says that males, I have to say, I've heard of a lot of things. This Eugene Davis is new for me. I would have thought it was just dandruff. I mean, that's me, an untrained eye. But, you know, is that what most, like you said, most folks might just assume is dandruff and call it a day?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the condition, it responds to treatment, but the treatments depend on where the inflammation is, but a lot of the products out there, especially the ones like the creams and stuff that I got, it worked, it was effective. Then all of a sudden, I went back last week because I was like, okay, it's back. What's going on? She said they say it's effective in relieving the symptoms, but it doesn't cure the problem.
Exactly.
You understand?
Wow.
So the anti-inflammatory inflammatory creams and lotions, they're great. They control it, but it can come back, and then you have to start the treatments all over again. So it is something that is just hormonal. Your body goes through it, and like I said, I'm 50 now, so it affects. It came to me. I've never had a problem with my scalp. Never had a problem with my my eyebrows or anything. But it's just what it is. So I accepted that, and I just wanted to learn as much as I could about it. So that's why I've came to talk about it, and I've also written about it on some posts on social media.
Wow. We've got to make sure folks know how to get to your posts as well. I don't want to forget to do that, Eugene Davis, because I think this is an important subject. I really do. And as I glance at it, I'm like, oh, my goodness, okay. They really go in about this. So you really are kind of like the poster boy for this, because it's exactly what the things that you have suffered with is what it talks about. So thank you for bringing us to light. I mean, that's really what the Hair Radio Morning Show was designed to do, and what your program, All About Conversations with Hair, should be doing, and that's what you're doing, and it's incredible work. So
yeah.
So how do they find you on social media, too? Don't forget.
Oh, okay. On LinkedIn, they can find me at just Eugene Davis, just at I pop up. You can find me on Instagram at Eugene Davis Hair 2. And you can find me on Facebook, Eugene Davis, in parentheses, Rowan, R-O-W-A-N. I'm on Facebook, and I have a group called The Fabric of Hair. It's a private group you can join, and I post all information, the blog, all information on all the things about hair products, anything I talk about on the Hair Radio, you will find that I'll do also a article or a post about it there.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Also, I have a blog on my website, which is www.eugenedavis.hair. That's www.eugenedavis.hair. And there you can look at the articles also, because I post them on a blog there too.
Exactly. And, of course, through Hair Radio, we will put
Correct.
You in touch with Eugene Davis. I have to say this, what I love about your work, and that's kind of how you got on my radar, as you know, way back when. We go back
yes.
a ways now. And
yep.
that is through those incredible videos and being able to describe and being fearless because not many folks, you know, they would have come on the show and just, you know, and this is what you can do if you are suffering with this. You rarely hear of someone who strips themselves down literally and
mm-hmm.
say, hey, this is what I've been dealing with. How about you?
Right.
I'm blown away because, see, when I just kind of started Googling this incredible seborrheic dermatitis, I think is how you say it. Yeah,
dermatitis,
we're
yeah.
close. But when it
right,
comes
no,
to,
no
yeah,
problem.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
But what I saw here about that it could possibly, you know, complications from it could even lead to depression and stuff. Because, of course, you're going to feel badly.
Definitely.
I mean,
Definitely.
Wow. So this is really something, you know, and I'm just, I thank you for that. So, you know, so Eugene, let's talk a little bit about this because there's so much out there for, you know, and we don't always get a chance to talk about the you know, what we're going through with this and how it can affect, you know, our mindset. So I'm not going to go way in on this, but
mm-hmm.
What can we, you know, I know, what do you say to folks to guard against, to just protect that little mindset? Is that having a good hairstylist to talk to about things? Because we used to bounce things off at the shops.
yeah, exactly.
Do they still do all of that?
I don't know. I think with social media, I think people are more,
mm-hmm.
I mean, probably the older shops and the older hairstylists,
yeah.
of course, they're concerned with scalp care and hair care. But I think a lot of the younger people are just concerned on the look. And with all the wigs and things that, you know, people are putting in and not taking care of their scalps and their hair, they're going to, just like, you know, with weaves and stuff back in the day, you know, you had some people who took care of your hair and grew your hair out and took care of your scalp, and you had people putting in weaves and gluing stuff in and just trying to get the look. They were causing a lot of damage. Even the same with relaxers at that time. We caused so much damage because people were just trying to get the look, and the hair care part had got lost. So I think now people are gravitating back to, with the natural movement, back to scalp care. I mean, first they started with the growing my hair out, and then some people were like, well, my hair's not growing. Well, just because you're not taking care of your scalp. You take care of your scalp, then you have healthy hair. It's not that not take care of your hair take care of your scalp. You have to take care of your scalp in order to produce healthy hair. You do that, you will have healthy hair, and it will grow. And if there are any issues when you take care of your scalp, you take care of that follicle, the hair will produce. And that's why it's so important. And I think people forget about that, and they just want the instant gratification. But when you want, you know, healthy hair, no, it's a process. It's a commitment to growing out your hair, and a commitment to keeping a healthy scalp. And I find that, and this is what I found now, that natural remedies are very effective for seborrheic dermatitis. You know, you can use dandruff shampoos and the things that the doctors give you, the dangerous topical steroids in them. But I think that a lot of them are ineffective and unsafe, and they only treat the symptom temporarily. Because my doctor told me, okay, you can only use it. I think she told me use it every day for a week, and then start spacing it out, then once a week, and then once every 3 weeks, something like that, she said, because it's a steroid, and it will thin out your skin.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and one of the things that I didn't know, I used to use the shampoo in the bath, so I just put it in my hair and then I splash the water and it run down my face. My forehead completely dried out.
Ooh,
I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And then when I went back, she told me it's because I was shampooing and because it was sitting on my, you know, the sudsy stuff was sitting on my forehead, that it was drying out because of the steroids. So now I'm on an extra hydration, hyaluronic acid treatment in order to, and it's back now, the moisture's back in my forehead, but it was like elephant skin. I was like, what happened?
So I learned from it.
I've learned.
Yeah.
So now I know to rinse it backwards, and that's something I can teach people about. You know, if you're doing these treatments, do not get it on your face.
Exactly.
You put on your eyebrows, you need it, but do not get it on your forehead or skin that you want to keep healthy because it will dry it out.
Exactly. And we might not think of that. See, that's why what you're saying is we wouldn't think of it. You know, that's just, we're not going to think of it. So that is very, very important. And the other thing I like about what you said, she gave you the instructions and she told you for a certain period of time and then stop and then more sparingly or sparsely. Let me tell you something. Follow the directions. When they tell you stuff, oh my goodness, you don't want to misuse things.
Nope.
I've been there thinking that I could second guess the professional, and you cannot. You cannot.
And that's the same thing with hair care products. You know, people say, oh, it doesn't work. But did you follow the manufacturer's instructions? Did you do how they say it? If you do what they say in the process, they have a process for a reason. It was tested like that. That's how they guarantee it works.
Exactly. Like they say, don't use it for things that we did not suggest. Use as the label directs. There is a reason for that.
Yeah.
I really, honestly, I'm raising my, because I used to be in that club. Oh,
me
I can just do this, and it'll probably work. If it work, you know, if it worked for this, you know, like the Gorilla Glue Girl, if it worked for the chair over there, maybe it'll work for my hair, too.
Right.
Not a good idea, folks. Okay.
No, not at all. That's a look, but now look at the result.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So if you're just tuning in, you're, of course, listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is time that we spend every Thursday with the incredible Eugene Davis, legendary, legendary hairstylist, educator. You're really doing some big stuff out there, and this is Conversations with Hair. We are just, you've been talking about some scalp, you know, kind of, it's like a scalp disorder, if you will. I think I would safely say that. I'm really, this is one of the ones that kind of flew under the radar. So this, we'll have to keep an eye on this. And you got to let us know how, you know, how you're, I know you're managing with it and everything seems to have calmed down and you're back on track. But please continue to keep us informed in this space. On
Definitely.
This, okay? So I really don't want to miss, you know, I think it's going to help so many people. Now, I've got to say, I want to turn over to some of the things that I wanted to mention, because we've been talking about this. I alluded a little bit earlier to talking about, you know, our mental state with all these wonderful things. But also, I'm going to kind of get into something that may not be quite as tangible, and that is a different subject for you, Mr. Eugene Davis, on this broadcast.
Okay.
Yes, I want to talk a little bit about the idea of happiness and being happy and, you know, and it's extended to the hair community. And I think you're a great person to talk about this. So how can we relate, you know, this feeling of euphoria, if you will, to folks who are coping with hair concerns? Or, you know, I think with the summer months, I think this is a great time to talk about feeling great about your hair and creating this great buzz, if you will, pardon the pun. But, you know, so what do you have to say about happiness and hair?
Well, I feel that if you invest your time into your hair, your skin, your attitude, your soul care, your self-care. I think when you invest into these things, you find happiness. When you invest yourself into prayer and receive from God and connect yourself and align yourself, you find happiness. So I think, and some people don't want to call it God. Some people call it universe. I refer to him as God, the creator. But when you connect to something spiritually and you enrich your soul, then you feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, you will then find that joy in maintaining your skin, maintaining your scalp, maintaining your hair, maintaining your body, going to a gym, drinking water. All those things will just come because you are investing in yourself. And I think investing in yourself builds the hormones or the chemical makeup, and you start, happiness just eludes from you, and you release that stress of the everyday life. And I think it's a mental thing too. You just have to choose. You have to choose happiness. You know, even in bad situations or difficult situations, you have to just choose happiness. It says, okay, this is not my idea of what I want it to be, but how I respond to it determines my happiness. How my attitude is today in this moment is how I can move forward. You know, am I going to let it weigh me down for a week, or am I going to have the right attitude, address the situation, and move according to what is happening in the moment. Bringing ourselves into the moment is how we can deal with stress and get through things, because if not, we will hold on to them and they will carry on, and then we lose our sense of happiness. And the more we keep going down that dark rabbit hole, the more we get depressed, and depression, anxiety, all these things start to take place, you know?
Exactly.
And those things affect everything around you.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, I'm guilty of it, but I had to learn how to build myself up and change my attitude and change my viewpoint on what I'm looking at. That's very important. And when I change my viewpoint, and I remember who God, what God says I am, he says I'm more than a conqueror. So then I go, oh, then I can get through this. I can do this, you know, and I make a choice. And that's how I find my happiness, and that's how I try to stay in a place of a positive attitude. You know, it's every day is not coming up roses, but every day doesn't have to be a doomsday either.
Exactly. Well, I love what you said, and this conversation reaches out to so many. We all kind of, you know, we needed that advice today. And I think, and it even says one of the causes for that condition is stress.
It is. It's a very good, very big part of it.
Oh, my. I just fell out. I'm just blown away, Eugene Davis.
Yeah.
Listen,
and also,
I love your words. Great, great.
Can I just say one last thing?
Sure, please.
And also, you know, and in this day and age, there's a lot of immune suppressive things going on in people's bodies with different kind of diseases. And if you have anything that suppresses your immune system and then you're stressed on top of it, this condition can show up at any time, no matter how old you are. It affects your, I believe it's, I forget what lymphatic glands, it affects that, and that's what produces the extra oils or something. I have to do more research on that part, but
well,
I know that
it's quite a few.
Yeah, if you're immune suppressive and you have a lot of stress, it really can flare up. So good to keep stress at bay.
Exactly. And that advice really is across the board. Listen, before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, Eugene, Eugene Davis, you always have something about products that you share with the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, whether it's a new product discovery or some advice on a product. Eugene, I say you must have a cabinet full. what they always call people, and I guess it's horrible to say, but they call the regular people out here, you know, for those of us who have all the different products, product junkies, they call us. Well, listen, but you, with good reason, you have a lot of products. So tell us anything you want to share today on, you know, what kind of product talk that you can been with us, you know, and still with us today.
Okay, for me, the product that I've discovered in this process is by a company called Briogeo by Nancy Twine.
Yes,
Briogeo, I discovered them at Ulta and Sephora, and then I started talking with them, and when I mentioned about my scalp condition, they was like, well, we want you to try this product. Now, my doctor also told me that I could try like more sulfate-free shampoos and different things that are natural ingredients. So they sent me this scalp revival, the new scalp revival by Briogeo, and this is the mega strength dandruff relief shampoo. Now it is amazing. In the package that it comes in, I did a thing on Facebook. So if anybody wants to find it, they can look me up, and it's their review on it. And they have what they call a charcoal and coconut oil micro exfoliant shampoo. Now, what's different about it? It's not, you know how you have your shampoo that's in the bottle, you pour it into your hands,
right?
You know that. This is not like that. This is a scrub for your face. It's like a micro exfoliant scrub, and it is amazing. And it comes with a massager. Scalp massager. It's not a brush. It's a rubbery. You have to find it on my page.
Sounds
it's like a rubbery kind of scalp thing, and it's gentle on the scalp, and it just exfoliates, and it moves the product around, and it just feels so good. So from the first step, I'm like, oh my God, this feels good. So once you rinse that off, the next thing they have in it is a dandruff relief shampoo with charcoal and AHA and BHA, which are oxalic acids for the scalp. So that shampoo, now after I do the exfoliant, you know, there might be some still charcoal and some, like a facial, you have those the stuff still a little bit left on your face.
Right,
but this removes all of that residue, and your scalp feels squeaky clean.
Wow.
But it does not strip the hair at the same time. So it's kind of like it's like this is skinification of hair, basically.
Wow.
You know, like skincare for hair, but it's skincare for your scalp, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, now we've got a. Now you got me wanting to see this video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and then the last step in it is they have a charcoal and tea tree cooling hydration scalp mask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a facial for your scalp. So then I put the mask on. I let the mask sit for 10 minutes, and then that restores. Like I said, my scalp is squeaky clean from the middle shampoo, and then it just restores all the moisture to my scalp, and my scalp feels amazing. And it's not itchy or anything for at least 4 days for me. But probably for somebody, a normal scalp, it probably lasts a little longer. But it's an amazing system. I tried it, and I just had to let them know that it was amazing, and I loved it. So that, again, is Briogeo's Mega Strength Dandruff Relief Shampoo, coming in the their new system that is the Scalp Revival Mega Strength.
Awesome. As always, we can rely on you for good product talk, as always, and also healthy hair. Listen, Eugene Davis, I just always have to say thank you. You really bring it for the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show and Conversations with Hair, Mr. Eugene Davis. Website, EugeneDavis.hair. I remember that, .hair, not .com, so make sure to visit Eugene's website and stay with us, folks. Eugene, thank you. Awesome job.
Thank you, Kerry. Always a pleasure to be here.
Likewise. All right. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines. Stay tuned.
All right. It's Thursday, June 9th of 2022. It's our show number 724. It's about 8:36 in the morning. That was the incredible Eugene Davis. And I think we've got Eugene Davis kind of standing by I'm going to call it some after-show talks. I'm going to bring Eugene to the line. I want to kind of work everybody on back in. We've been having a long conversation this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that Eugene just mentioned as well. First, let me just bring on Nicole Marie, and then we will kind of take it from there. You guys know her out of Water Valley. I call her WV.
Good morning.
Yes, Water Valley, Mississippi. Good morning, Nicole Marie. So you've been listening. We've been listening.
Yes.
Let me just, yes, and I kind of want to get the guys on in so we can kind of have everybody on.
Okay.
Brother Otto, I call him Otto, out of New Jersey, southern part, central New Jersey, Hamilton.
Oh, Indiana, yeah.
And Michael Hopkins, of course, from beautiful Spotsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, everybody
beautiful.
Is on, and we're going to continue. We were getting into some hot stuff this morning on
yeah.
the show. And we turned to Eugene Davis, who got into some hot stuff on conversation.
Yes,
with
he did.
All that he was talking about skincare. Yes, so I want to, you know, we have a little bit of a surprise drop in with Eugene Davis. So I'm calling it after. It's the after show, Eugene Davis, out of Chicago area. Good morning, Eugene.
Right.
And you're on with everybody. So hello. Hello.
Hi. Good,
good morning.
Morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good
everybody?
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
Michael.
Eugene.
Hi, Otto.
Morning.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Eugene, you did such a great job with conversations with him
yes.
this morning. Great, great talk. I got to say, so how is your condition doing these days? Anything new on it you want to say or add to?
Well, it's under control, and my scalp is doing a lot better as my
yeah.
hair is starting to grow now because I shaved it to like buzz bald, but as it starts
oh,
to grow
yeah.
back,
oh, yeah.
wow. I can just see the difference, and I can also see the healthiness in my hair, like the shine, the quality of it. It's so much better. And not only is the Briogeo that I mentioned, shampoos and scalp revival doing well, it's just that I think I'm just taking the time and nurturing it. And as I nurture it, I'm just really nurturing my skin, like my forehead when I said it dried out. So I had to go in with hyaluronic acid as a
That's
treatment
a
in order to just pump that skin back up and get it rehydrated. So for me, I'm learning a lot. You know, about not only just scalp care, and which I thought I knew everything, but I didn't. So I'm learning again about scalp care that I can help others, but I'm also learning skincare
exactly.
at the same time, believe it or not.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, I have to say, your education with this is helping everybody and bringing
Definitely.
Attention and awareness to it. I love this. So I thought you did an outstanding job. I really did. And I've got to say, yeah, it's nice to have you popping up and joining us live on the air.
Yeah.
I know that you have been listening this morning.
Uh-huh.
Eugene, because I think Eugene's like, I want to weigh in on this. So, Eugene, what did you hear early? And so you guys are just joining us. You might have missed it. We had a big, big mid-show live talk today between like 7 and 8. We usually do a host chat, and then we do coffee tea conversations. And so I think today we talked a little bit about, we actually kind of led in a little bit with you, Eugene, because today is kind of like Eugene. We really played you throughout the show. You kicked off at 6:15 this morning on the broadcast with a good, good talk. We knocked out alopecia. Then we kind of went in there again a little bit. I said, okay, there's some synergy this morning with Eugene Davis. And we talked about your mid-show. And here you are. So we are so excited. So this is kind of fun today. So it's kind of like unofficial Eugene Davis Day. So,
All right.
So Eugene, what was it that you heard? We really were talking about the Monique situation. I'll kind of remind everybody a little bit about the Monique situation. I wasn't sure if that's what you're getting into. I knew you wanted to weigh in. So Eugene Davis, our very special guest today, all right, spotlight in the 8 o'clock hour. What do you want to say?
Well, I did hear the Dee Hughley and Monique part of the conversation. I would like to hear more before I discuss, weigh in on that.
Right, okay.
But I really wanted to respond to Otto about, and he said that he wanted to hear more about the mental health effects of alopecia.
Yes, the emotional effects.
And I will do a segment, Kerry, on that, but I'll just briefly say there are some real effects on the mental health and dealing with the self-esteem. Not only do we have just basically in our world hair discrimination, but when you have alopecia and your hair is coming out and everyone has this idea that everybody's hair has to look a certain way and has to be long or short or colored or this or that. So we already have biases about what it is to be pretty when it comes to hair. So when someone loses their hair and we already have that stigma on it, it becomes a devastating emotional thing that they have to now deal with, not only trying to get healthy hair, but they now have to get emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy to go out the door and face the world. That's not an easy
thing
to do. So I will deep dive into that on another post, but I just wanted to say that briefly that Otto, thank you for bringing that up, because there is it's a very important topic that needs to be talked about, that people don't actually understand what someone who suffers with any type of alopecia has to deal with.
Good stuff. Well, I have to say, Eugene Davis, thank you. I thought you were going to weigh in on the Monique situation, but listen, I know you're going to get back, you know, you're going to look into it a little bit, but I have to tell you, I think you're going to be very surprised. And because I was surprised once I kind of started really looking at this more closely. And I do want to hear your feedback on it, because you are somebody who you give good talk to things. And we kind of touched on a little bit of this on your episode today. You know, we're starting to look at things that it's just not the cosmetics of it. It's just not the way it just looks on the outside so much. We want to kind of talk about, like you said, out of that emotional part, and what does this really mean, and how is everybody coping with these things? And I mean, and this pandemic didn't help. help. It exacerbated this whole thing.
And what you just said was important, because Otto, as a father, it affected him also. And just, you know, because you want to protect your child. You want your child to have self-esteem.
Oh,
you want them to be happy. So how does the parent have to deal with this? How does the family deal with it when now this person's character has all changed because of this this autoimmune thing that just took over their hair, their scalp?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I am just blown away, Mr. Eugene Davis. I really am. And I have to say, this is really, first of all, it's a great thing to have you just joining us like this. And we're putting together a whole bunch of wonderful, wonderful things to come on Conversations with Hair. We're always talking. We kind of throw around a lot of different ideas. Once we close out the show, you know, around at 9 o'clock each morning, we're still talking and planning and coming up with different things that are going to make the difference in our lives. So I thank you for this time. I really do. And Eugene, so and I want to hear, I want more products. I cannot wait. I love your product talk. You know, I do. I love the product talk, as you heard earlier today. I think it's nice because that's what people want to know. They want to know what's new, what's hitting the market, and why you think it's important. And so you do that with your Conversations with Hair on this show, and then you do it with your work as well through your EugeneDavis.hair. website,
correct,
and your conversations, your posting, as you mentioned, through Facebook and all that wonderful good stuff. So real nice things. Thanks for being with us, Eugene. So we're gonna get back
to you
and we look forward to next week's episode, and we just hang out with us a little bit, Eugene. You don't have to go rushing on.
Not a problem.
Listen, I would love that, because I want to get some, you know, we got a few little more hot things to talk about this morning. And one thing I do want to mention that you were a big part of, and it just aired yesterday, and I know you may have not heard it, but it was just incredible. It was the Father's Day celebration. Again, we're celebrating Father's Day the whole month, because I know folks are looking, did I miss the Father's Day is what you're asking? No, you haven't.
We're celebrating it the whole month of June, okay? And I just loved it. I really did. So, but, you know, I've talked with Otto and Michael about it a little bit. What did you think about the experience that, to me, it was like an out-of-body experience for the fans of the show who heard, to me, real talk about the emotional, talk about emotional impact of some of, you know, of our childhoods because of the fathers who weren't there and or how that might have shaped up how we, not me, but you guys who are dads, are out there, you know, raising your children. And some of you already have grown children, so you were able to speak to everything on this show. But what was your opinion, Eugene Davis, on what you heard?
About the Father's Day, I just thought it's just amazing how when we have children as men, and I think one of the things that we did talk about is that we thought we were men, but once we had a child, like when that first child is born, it's like something inside of you clicks and says, I'm now a man and I have to be responsible for this child. So even though there are dads that are missing in the home, I just think instinctively the God in us, it just clicks. And we, somewhere in the back of our mind, whether we adhere to it or not, we automatically know that we are now responsible. This is something that we will have for the rest of our lives, whether we want it or not. It's that child is there. So I appreciate all the men who have become fathers, because I don't take that lightly. You know, being a father is someone who cares, who nurtures, who supports. You know, all those things that we need, that the child needs in order to be a productive person in society. And I think that has been a problem, that people are men are producing children, but not but they're not stepping up to be fathers. And I think that's why we have so many issues with it comes to these young people and guns and killing each other, because they have no respect, because nobody took the time to respect them.
That's a deep I have to say. Well, I do think it has a lot to do with, like, what you said. But I also think that society is sending so many messages to families. I'm still trying to figure out how does society expect you to raise a well-adjusted child who is making that contribution to society as well, when you're not supported, in my opinion. That's just me. I don't have a family and kids and all that, so I don't know. But to me, it seems like society could do a better job of supporting family efforts. To me, we talked about it earlier with the technology stuff, you know, kind of, and social media. I can't even imagine being a parent in this day and age. So I applaud. I really can't. I can barely imagine being an adult the way things are rolling out here in America. I can't. And so children, you know, like I thought about it, I remember, and just real quick on this, I just, you know, as a kid, going out and playing in the yard, my big question was, who's it now, you know, playing tag? I didn't know anything about an active shooter, you know, and dashing. What in the world? Are you kidding me?
Oh, even just going to school.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, my goodness. Go ahead.
It's a
different,
like,
go ahead.
Like Eugene, I'd like to thank you all your knowledge and years of I'm telling you, man. I appreciate all the things that you say, and thank you for sharing your personal story, actually, about getting you know, you get the look, you want the look, but you sacrifice the scalp. I really enjoyed that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Eugene, you went in on the scalp talk this morning.
Yeah, you were really really good, interesting, and a lot of knowledge for the fans. No, it's tough. Like Eugene just mentioned, the schools, Nicole with schools. We didn't have that, like you said, Curry. We just went to school, you know. You were worried about the bully maybe or something, but you weren't worried about this. And I hope that, you know, somehow, some way, you know, they can straighten this out. But at this point, you just got to, like, you know, like a lot of people are actually going to homeschooling to avoid this.
Yes, they are.
I can see why.
Nicole, you're in education. How do you feel about it?
I believe that the social media and everything that we've talked about this morning definitely plays a role in education. And we're talking about, you know, our generation, you know, being outside, playing, you come up with games, that whole creativity. And creativity is something that some of our children are lacking. We have so much with social media. Yes, they're looking this up and looking that up. But when they're at school, the actual thinking is stifled because they're so used to going and looking something up to find the answer instead of actually thinking. So that is an issue.
Yeah, how about
that? Definitely is an issue. Yes.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a challenge. Yes. And you can't sit up at school on your phone. You know, yes, there are computers. Yes, you utilize those computers for certain things. But especially when it comes to, like, math and things like that, you have to think. You can't just go and use a calculator all the time.
Now I was going to turn to Michael.
Pen and paper, too. You know?
Yeah. Thank you, Nicole Marie. I was going to turn to Michael on the military families. What about how they cope with all of this? You are in touch with veterans all the time. So how do these families, in your opinion, Michael Hopkins, our Vet Talk Radio host, what do you have to say? Usually you're tied into the military, and I want to hear that this morning. So what do you say about the military families and what they're coping with and being dads out here and all of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a whole different the thing of it is, Carrie, and guys, it's different now for military people because of these past wars.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine what it's like you getting deployed to the same place you just left and you're going two and three times?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got all this modern technology. I can kiss the babies goodnight and all that. But I'm getting deployed back to the same place. So mentally, I'm not there. We got all this modern technology. And like I was saying earlier, you got these little cards and things. And I'm so stressed out and all this kind of stuff. And I remember before I got out, I had a run-in with my first sergeant. And this all ties in with the family thing, and I'll make it real quick. I had a run-in with my first sergeant. And I was getting to the point I was getting ready to get out anyway. And like I told my first sergeant, if we don't train these kids now, how to function, how to be a leader in this military thing, it's not going to happen. They're going to keep depending on us to do everything for them. And when I look now, when I was in, if you were E7 or E8, you were the type of dude, you had been in there 15, 20 years, somewhere in that time frame. If you were an E9, and that's like the highest enlisted, you were this crusty old guy. You've probably been in since the Revolutionary War, but you knew your job.
Right, they knew
their job. See, and now the impression that I get is these guys, they're combat veterans. They're a lot younger. You got guys in their 30s. They're trying, you know, they're leading troops in their 30s. We never even seen anything like that. You know, they were E8s and E9, what I mean, like the first time. They're the head guy of all enlisted people in the unit. We never
well,
saw
Michael,
stuff
I'm
like
gonna
that.
Say this. I'm going to say that I know that you will be getting into more of this next week, and perhaps we can even continue tomorrow during our live chat. I just want to say thank you to everybody. Let me just do a roll call here. We had Otto. Otto, great job today. Awesome as every day you bring it on the broadcast. Nicole Marie, my great co-host and co-star. Amazing host chat today. You need to join us mid-show. We're live, and
thank you,
we kind of take it all the way throughout the whole show now. So real
yes,
good stuff.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Hopkins, what can I say? Vet Talk Radio, Tuesdays at 8:30. Real good stuff. And also Eugene Davis, who kind of hung out with us this morning. Great show, Eugene. I hope you play this back from beginning to end. I think you're going to enjoy
it. Thank you.
Great job today
with
Conversations with Hair. And also on Coffee Tea Conversations, we've had two big parts to this today. And so the conversations continue. I want to invite everybody to, of course, to visit our store at hairradio.com. At Hair Radio, it's pronounced. And, yeah, folks have already, you guys got some T-shirts and things and all of that. They've got some mugs over there, all that stuff through the bonfire, folks. Please visit and check it out. And then also we'll be updating the Vet Talk Radio tab, so it'll be more for Michael and conversations and all that wonderful good stuff on the military. And I just want to say thank you. Tomorrow on Friday show, we're going to be talking about Upscale Magazine and the radio network and all of that 24-hour new cycle over there and all that's happening. They've got some updates as well. I want to thank all of our advertisers. Everybody has been just fantastic, shouting out all of the folks who have helped us to put this together. So it's been a great show. So, Otto, what did you think today? Great show?
Great show, Gary Hines. Thank you. And like you said, support the show. Go to this gift store, hairradio.com, and look at the mugs. Take a trip through the store. Support the show.
Yeah, it is, because you know what? We wouldn't be here if there weren't folks like fixyourfeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care.
Yeah.
And the New Roots Rock Salon in West Orange and the Siobhan and all of that. So, folks, just can continue to support us. Of course, Shanta. Don't forget Organic Love Collection and all of that. And we just kind of keep on going. Yeah, Shea Butter.
Shea Butter.
There we go.
Shea Butter.
She would love hearing that this morning. Go back to say it like she can. Listen, that's it for today, folks. I'm going to get the outro on, and I'm going to treat myself to my feet up and to listen back to today's live show that we did. So I'll listen back to the recorded. So listen, folks, make it a great Thursday. We'll see you back here starting 6 o'clock in the morning for the next installment. And we're going to have some new music as well. I know we're playing classic, Black Music Month, but celebrating Black Music Month, but we're going to get on some new music as well. Make it a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Here's the outro.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very